From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of January, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski, a senior trader for Louis Dreyfus Commodities, will join us to take up the agricultural markets. Dave Dickey will be here to talk about the agricultural news for the day, and I'll take you through the soy yield challenge in Illinois and preview the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair. And don't forget that in just 26 minutes as we close out our program, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat pit at $5.05, down 7 cents this afternoon. May futures at 5.16 and a half, down 7 and a quarter, and the July contract at 5.28 and a quarter, down 7 and 3 quarters. March wheat today $5.05, down 9 and a half. The May at 5.14 and a quarter, 9 and a quarter lower, and July at 5.26 and a half. That in Chicago, down 8 and a quarter. Those first three, of course, were hard red from Kansas City. March corn now 3.69 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter today. May futures at 3.80 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter, and the July contract at 3.89 and a half, down 2 cents. September futures at 3.97, down 2, and December contract at $4.04, down 2 on the afternoon. Soy complex for the afternoon, March futures 9.63 and a half, 10 and a half lower. May at 9.70 and a quarter, down a dime. July at 9.75 and a quarter, down 9 and a quarter. And the August soybeans at 9.68 and three quarters, down 9 and one quarter. March bean meal 2.90.90, down 80 cents. The May at 2.83.30, rather at 2.83 even, down 90 cents. Live cattle futures February contract 87.90.55 higher. January feeders up 27 and a half at 98.25, and the February lean hogs this afternoon at $70.75, finished down, or rather up, 77 and a half cents for the day. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. February contract at $79 and a penny, a dollar and a penny higher on the day. Ethanol at $1.78 and a tenth, up a tenth of a cent. Natural gas at $5.56 and 7 tenths, down 12 and 4 tenths. The RBOB at $2.06 and 2 tenths, a penny and 7 tenths higher. And February heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.04 and 6 tenths. That's just about unchanged on the day. Gold futures at $1,139.79, or rather at 70 cents an ounce, up $9.60. The Dow now stands at 10,709, and it's just about 100 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 77.50 is up 0.17 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 283.25 is 1.84 higher. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says this afternoon, partly to mostly cloudy sky, some patchy fog, mist, light drizzle. Highs will range from 28 in northwestern Illinois to 52 in the far southern part of the state of Illinois. And then tonight in the northern areas, mostly cloudy skies in central sections, cloudy, light, freezing rain late. In southern sections, cloudy, light, freezing rain and rain moving in. Lows this evening from 18 in northwestern Illinois to around 45 in the far southern part of Illinois. Tomorrow in northern and central sections, cloudy and breezy, some areas of light freezing rain and drizzle. In southern sections, cloudy with periods of rain. Highs will range tomorrow from 30 in the north to around 55 in the southern part of the state. The extended period of light freezing rain and rain in store for much of the Midwest from Tuesday evening through Friday morning. This is going to cause numerous travel delays. Stay tuned for all the agricultural information and weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this program in just about 20 minutes now.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Tuesday afternoon, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
You were out all week last week with the folks at ADM in Phoenix, I believe, in Arizona. Did you have a good week? I heard it was one of the best meetings that has been put on recently by the company.
I would have to agree with that, Todd. I think that there was quite a lineup. They kept it moving rapidly, and a lot of information, probably as best about between Washington, D.C., market views, and just in general the economy. So we did learn quite a bit. We learned that the last government report caught a lot of people on the wrong side of the market, and that's why we've seen such a sort of devastating move downward on this. And the big question out there right now is, have a lot of people got out of their long positions, and is all of this rebalancing act by the large funds, is it done, and is all the money that's going to come in at this point in time? And I think the question is now, is there more liquidation, or will it be slow rather than faster at this point in time? And a lot of the views were that we might see sort of a leaking effect or a little bit of a sell-off that might last 2 to 3 weeks here as people decide to get out of their long positions.
Yeah, as far as the balancing, we were told during Commodity Week by our guest on the weekend that that had been completed, or mostly completed, I guess, on Thursday or Friday of last week. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's the indications we're seeing and hearing. Unfortunately, none of those fund managers are close and personal friends of mine, and so I'm not sure and haven't been told specifically. But, you know, from the people that we know, that we're thinking that it's at least 80% done.
So what is a producer to do at this point? As they look probably at a bin full of corn, maybe a few soybeans left around too.
Well, one of the things that we've been noticing today, and we got a fair amount of calls from our customers, that with this decrease in prices, the basis is narrowed in, so it hasn't hurt near as bad. And we've seen a lot of people that were able to, that did have some hedge-derived stuff put in place, with this basis moving on in, we're going ahead and pricing the basis and being able to move the corn and some beans at this point in time.
In so, what areas are the basis moving in? Is it specific to
basically,
areas?
That's in northern Illinois.
Yeah, so that would
and
be
around the Frankfort, Indiana area, so on the beans. So we saw some in northern Illinois along the river, and we saw some in Frankfort as far as the beans went.
Yeah, so basis on the river in northern Illinois, that was, I would think that'd be kind of interesting to see that. I know that northern Illinois for corn probably did not have the best crop in terms of quality there, so I could see basis maybe coming in trying to attract more bushels of corn to feed, for instance, ethanol plants and such. How do you see the rest of this playing out for maybe the next month or so?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, the report did tell us, Todd, that we're going to have more acres that are going to be available for corn and bean planting because of the low wheat acreage, and also then, of course, the carryouts being better with the way that the government treated the yields. So we're not going to have quite the need to buy acres or try to push corn over beans or whatever as far as looking into things. So we're probably looking at a sideways to slightly easier range here over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Anything else that we need to take up? For instance, is it getting better for the livestock producer?
The livestock producer, the one thing that they looked at was some optimism for a change. Two things happening, of course, the price of corn and meal coming down because of the decrease in prices. And number two, the production numbers are down. The cold weather here, of course, slowing up beef production that way. And looking for a little optimism for the year 2010 as far as looking at the hog and the beef producer and thinking that maybe they could have a profitable year, which would be, you know, exactly what they need because they've had a pretty rough year and a half.
We'll talk with you again in about a week.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
All right, thanks much. That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our daily ag programming, including opening and closing market reports, midday reports, and the Commodity Week program. It's our weekend program. It's all at willag.org. We also post portions of those into our phone line, the number to call, at about 10:15 and 3:15 daily with some analysis and a bit of numbers from the opening or the closings, depending on which time you call, is 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's 217-333-3434.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Now, soybean yields go up on average by about 0.4 of a bushel every year. That's the nationwide trend, of course. Illinois farmers are now being organized to see if that trend can be pushed even faster. There's a push in Illinois to increase soybean yields. All the details are online at www.soyyieldchallenge.com. University of Illinois Extension soybean specialist Vince Davis has been telling farmers all around the state about the effort.
Any farmer can participate in the yield challenge, and all farmers are encouraged, but they can form teams either independently sponsored or they can be sponsored by a variety of companies. And as well as FFAs and community college can all participate as students or public institutions.
There are prizes that include gift cards, soil lab analysis, and even scholarships for schools. But the big prize could be better yields. For you see, the challenge really is not so much a contest. Rather, it's a way to operate a large yet very localized field study with each crop reporting district in the state working towards a high-yield solution. Those wanting to learn more about the Soybean Yield Challenge in Illinois should visit soyyieldchallenge.com online. The challenge, says Vince Davis, is made possible in part with funding from the Illinois Soybean Checkoff. Now, here's Dave with the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Supreme Court today refused to order the closure of shipping locks near Chicago to prevent Asian carp from infesting the Great Lakes. The High Court refused to issue a preliminary injunction that would have immediately cut off a link between the Mississippi River and the Great Lakes Basin. Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, and New York want a permanent block between the rivers and the lakes to keep out the fish. Scientists fear that if Asian carp reaches the lakes, they could disrupt the food chain and endanger the $7 billion fishery. Meanwhile, on Friday, the Supreme Court said it would hear an appeal by Monsanto Company of a ruling that barred the company from selling its genetically modified alfalfa seed until a governmental review is done. The justices agreed to review a ruling by a U.S. appeals court in California that upheld a federal judge's injunction barring the sales until the federal government finished an environmental impact study on how the Roundup Ready seed could affect nearby crops. The Supreme Court will hear arguments most likely in April, with a decision expected by the end of June. OPEC today slightly trimmed its forecast of demand for its oil in 2010 and said inventories remain high enough to cope with any unexpected rise in winter fuel consumption. The monthly report from the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries predicted demand for crude from the group's 12 members will average 28.59 million barrels per day in 2010. Statistics Canada today says that Canada's composite leading indicator soared 1.5% in December, the largest month-on-month increase for almost 27 years, spurred by household spending and a surging stock market. The housing index climbed by 3%, the eighth consecutive monthly increase. Agriculture Deputy Undersecretary for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services Bud Philbrook is resigning to take care of a family member. Philbrook's resignation brings the number of unfilled key USDA positions to six. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says he will move quickly to fill Philbrook's position. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can always listen to those programs and other agricultural news and information online anytime you'd like in full at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, you know the Chicago farmers are gearing up for their February Farmland Investment Fair. I'll have more. Plans are underway for the annual Farmland Investment Fair sponsored by the Chicago Farmers. The fair will host a diverse blend of exhibitors as well as 15 classroom-style sessions. Farm management specialist Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois will present during one of the many breakout sessions. Jeff Martin, a downstate Illinois farmer, is chair of the event. He hails from Mount Pulaski and says the Saturday, February 6th investment fair is a unique opportunity.
The farmland fair is kind of a combination of places where buyers and sellers of land can meet and meet exhibitors that have land for sale, and also a list of seminars throughout the day, which is especially good. We try to key it for producers or landowners. There's 15 different topics, I think, related to farming, buying, selling farmland. Leasing of farmland leasing is a very hot topic of, you know, how to the landlords can get maximum return, but try still to be fair to the tenant. So that's one of our the key presentations, I think, that we have this year. Social media is also a real big item, as well as, you know, Chuck Zimmerman is going to be there to present two programs on how to go out and make yourself known in the world and possibly contact new landlords or keep in touch with existing landlords. It's a real hot topic of media, being able to promote yourself. So we're really looking forward to that presentation.
Zimmerman represents Zimcom. Other presentations during the one-day event at the Joliet Junior College in Joliet, Illinois, include wind farms, developing small acreage farms, organic farming, managing machinery cost, and biomass energy production, among others. The Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair is scheduled for Saturday, February 6th at Joliet Junior College. The cost is $50 with online registration at chicagofarmers.org. That's www.chicagofarmers.org. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural energy markets, as we do each and every week here on Tuesday. Mike Barwinski, who's a senior trader at Louis Dreyfus Commodities in Kansas City, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What's on the top of your list of things to watch this week?
Currently we're waiting to hear on the final RFS2 rules from EPA. That's going to be a big one, specifically as it relates to obligated parties' gallons. That will be a big determinant on how much is required to be blended of ethanol this year.
And how soon do you think we'll hear about it?
We hear that it will come out this week, but I would say definitely in the next few weeks we'll hear a final ruling.
Is this the rule that would change things or could change from 10% up to a 15% blend?
This is a different rule. That one we hear reports on summer. We're hoping by May and June we should hear a final ruling from EPA on that. And right now it looks pretty confident that it will be okayed.
Yeah. So tell me about this obligated rule then. What does that mean?
It's basically any obligated parties, your big blenders like an ExxonMobil or BP. It tells you the breakdown of what they need to blend this year to meet their obligation, in regards to the RFS.
Is this the rule where the independent blenders and the have been at odds with the big boys in some sense as to where that blending happens?
It is. It does have to do with that because a big guy like a BP is taking away a blend margin because right now ethanol costs, in certain months 20 to 30 cents less than gasoline. So BP, what they're doing or someone like that is going into a state saying that they're the obligated party. They're blending it before they sell it at the rack, basically taking that 30-cent price difference and then passing it on. So your smaller blenders has no chance to gain that arb there.
And does it make any difference, for instance, to a Louis Dreyfus or other ethanol plant owners where it gets blended?
Not for an ethanol plant owner, but I think the way it falls out for the ethanol industry in general is that your smaller blenders, your regional guys, are really the ones who lead the way in increasing blend rates in an area. For example, in the Southeast, they were the ones who really started it to get it going, and then your majors came in. So really, they kind of lead the way. So I think it does hurt it in that respect.
All right. Then turn your attention to the marketplace directly. How much of a change last week did the USDA numbers have on the way you think about purchasing corn for your ethanol plants?
It definitely took a big hit to the basis. Obviously, when corn just fell kind of precipitously from its highs. Production margins at ethanol plants are still pretty healthy, though. As far as corn buying goes, I think one of the big stories maybe you've heard is the starch content in the corn right now.
Right.
That's kind of the major thing that we're looking at on any inbound corn,
yeah.
Starch content and any damage from over-drying.
So the question, I really do have a question there, is because this is that in a limited area surrounding certain plants, or is it widespread across much of Iowa, northern part of Illinois, Minnesota?
We've talked, and it seems like it's a what we've encountered is a big, more of an Iowa problem. Plant Nebraska hasn't run into it nearly as much. And from what we've heard anecdotally, it's affecting, it seems to be affecting more plants in the Iowa area than outside that.
Yeah, and so it probably has to do with test weights, but they would have to be awfully low. How low do you think they are, 48 pounds on the bushel?
Yeah, they're not that low, but it's the test weights aren't low enough to cause too much concern right now, at least at our one plant.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike Barwinski. He's with Louis Dreyfus Commodities out of Kansas City, Missouri, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Five people from the region remain on a mission trip to earthquake-ravaged Haiti and could remain there until Monday. One of those who has returned from the trip over the weekend, Nurse Alicia Northern, says duties didn't change a lot after the quake occurred, providing nutrition, caring for the elderly, and assisting at an orphanage. The trip, organized by a Western Indiana church, went to the Northwest Haiti Christian Mission, just north of Port-au-Prince. The group of 17 was giving a devotion last Tuesday to Haitian women when the quake occurred. The goal of those still behind is to help quake victims from Port-au-Prince as the mission is made into a makeshift surgery center. Those still helping include Georgetown teenager Amanda Stanton. Her pastor, Drew Menzner, says the 16-year-old was counting the days until she could participate. She contacted Menzner Saturday, saying she was safe and happy to be helping people. Three police agencies are investigating a morning bank robbery in Mahomet. City Police Chief Jerry Gamble says someone approached a teller with a gun at the Busey branch on Main Street just before 10, taking an undisclosed amount. No injuries were reported. The suspect left the bank on foot. He's described as a white male, about 5'10 and 240 pounds, wearing a black hooded jacket with brown pants and work boots. Gamble says his department is working with Monticello police since the description is similar to that of a suspect in a bank robbery there last month. Anyone with more information is urged to call Crime Stoppers. The U.S. Army says child pornography charges filed against an Illinois Army National Guard soldier in Afghanistan don't stem from family photos of a young relative. But Army spokesman Master Sergeant Thomas Clemenson said in an email to Associated Press today that he can't say what the charges against Specialist Billy Miller of Galesburg are based on. Miller is charged with possession of child pornography and is in Bagram, Afghanistan. Miller's guard unit returned home in August. Illinois officials and industry representatives are relieved after the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to allow the immediate closure of shipping locks to prevent the Asian carp from infesting the Great Lakes. The Office of Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan opposed Michigan's request for a preliminary injunction that would have ordered the locks in the Chicago area closed. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest to begin with.
Well, we have enjoyed a little bit of a trend of warmer weather lately, a January thaw for most of the nation, and the weather certainly has been a little bit better, but we're going to see some of that storminess that's right now making headlines in California translate across the plains. Now, we probably won't see it, at least any significant moisture, until a little bit later on in the week and towards the weekend. But what we're going to have is a storm come out of the desert southwest. The Gulf of Mexico is going to be opened up, and that will allow moisture to stream northward. So as we get into the weekend and as we get into early next week, be ready for some wet, cooler weather. On the backside of the system, it'll be snow in the upper Midwest, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, and rain on the east side for most of the Corn Belt.
And then we probably ought to spend a little bit more time on some of the growing regions in the southern hemisphere today than I have recently with you. What does it look like in South America at this time?
Well, it's going to be a little bit drier. The forecast, especially for Argentina, drying out some. Brazil, which has been wet in many areas, is going to continue to have the best chance for shower activity, although the amounts of rain will be less than the last couple of weeks.
And if you turn your attention to other growing regions, how is the wheat crop faring in Australia? And then maybe you can cover some of the wheat areas that would be in the winter time in the northern hemisphere, like India, Ukraine, some of those places.
Well, looking at Australia, they're going to be a little bit dry. They've actually been a little bit on the cool side. In fact, some portions of extreme southeast Australia reported summer snow in the higher elevations down there, so a bit unusual in Australia. The trend, though, is drier. For Australia and New Zealand, those areas a little bit warmer and drier weather coming our way. Now, if we go over to portions of Central Asia, over towards India, those areas, not much precipitation in the forecast at all. India, very dry. If we were to look in the winter areas of Europe, like here in the United States, Europe has caught a break after the extreme cold in December and early January. They're experiencing a January thaw, and with that, some drier weather. But like here in North America, Europe will trend colder and more wet later this month into early February.
Did they also have the snow cover so that they don't have to worry about winter kill?
A lot of snow cover, and most of it is still there.
All right. Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.